On the local take, we've covered the public school to prison pipeline policies and the struggle for justice and equality in this community and in this country since we began these conversations in 2011. This week on the local take, we're talking to Keisha Bird, Director of Youth Policy with CLASP. CLASP stands for the Center for Law and Social Policy, and this is a national, nonpartisan, nonprofit organization advancing policy solutions for low-income people. Keisha Bird, welcome to the Local Take.
Thank you for having me.
Can you tell our listeners how CLASP came to be and what this organization does?
Sure. So CLASP emerged about 50 years ago from the passion of young advocates, much like many of the young activists we see today, who were really determined that folks who were living in poverty and folks who did not have representation in Washington special interests would be heard, and that public policy solutions would benefit them. And so over our 50-year history, we've started from doing legal services advocacy for folks who are living in poverty, all the way to now really focus on a range of social policy issues, which we feel there's not one silver bullet that can help lift individuals, children, youth, and families out of poverty. But there are a range of solutions working with states and local communities and advocates and those with lived experience that we can help create. And so we work on a number of issues from child care, access to early care and education, to job quality, making sure folks not just only have a job, but they have a good job that pays a wage and living wage and offers them paid family medical leave. We focus on education and workforce development pathways so that folks have the kinds of economic mobility supports that they need and that they ask for and want to thrive, and their policy supports them. We also focus on what folks call the safety net programs, but nutrition and health care and ensuring that in states and local communities, communities of color, as well as low-income individuals have access to those things. And on the youth policy team, our work is really centered around how do we support young people of color and low-income youth to thrive? How does policy create an environment for good programs, for quality programs, and for investments that pour into young people, not as deficits and not as entities that need to be fixed, but that as human beings that deserve supports and investments from their federal government.
Now, you all are having an event here in Atlanta. It's a conversation on youth, economic mobility, equity, and justice. Why did you think this was an important topic to have a conversation about?
Yeah, so a couple of thoughts. One is over the last about 20 years that CLASP has been focused on youth and young adult policy specifically, we felt that a lot of the conversations were really siloed. Folks were either focused on jobs or, you know, focused on criminal justice. And really, when you talk to young people, when you work alongside young people, again, it's not just about a job. It's about the skills and the work experiences they need to get into the labor market and to move up. But it's also about how do we support them in seeing a future and support their mobility up and through, whether that's through income, whether that's through education attainment, whether that's just through becoming more engaged citizens. And the reason why we focus on equity is because, one, we know that there is not equitable distribution of resources in our communities, especially many communities where young people of color live. So we wanted to talk about that. We know Atlanta has a huge income inequality issue like many other urban areas and cities, as well as our demographics are changing in this country, and we're no longer going to be a majority white country. And young people already in many states and many localities, including in Georgia, are becoming, the majority will be young people of color. So if we really want to see our states thrive, our economies thrive, our communities thrive, we have to really be focused on these young people. And justice, because it's not just about keeping young people out of the criminal justice system, but it's really about a vision for what justice looks like. And when we ask young people what justice looks like, they say all sorts of things, that I have the resources I need and want, that my family is not going hungry, that I have the wages I deserve to earn and not be paid a sub-minimum wage or minimum wage. And so, you know, really expanding this notion of justice around equity and around economic stability and security and advancement.
Now, you mentioned Georgia, and some of the research out of CLASP shows that 1 in 10 youth in Georgia's 4th and 5th congressional districts, and this is, you know, Metro Atlanta districts, are not working or attending school. Are we poised to lose this generation?
So I'm glad you mentioned that. So this research is actually from our partners and friends, Measure of America. They produce a report of the state of out of school, out of work young people annually. And we also refer to these young people as opportunity youth. They refer to themselves as that. One, because they're are deserving of the opportunity that communities should be pouring into them, but also because they are opportunity themselves. And so we, you know, refer to this cohort of young people as opportunity youth. And so we do not feel that we are poised to lose a generation. We, one, need to call attention to the issue, and then we know we can do something about it. And so a part of doing something about it is, how do we look at how our federal policies through our workforce investment funds and our state and local policies, whether that is keeping young people in school, reengaging those who have been pushed out or who have left school prematurely, how do we look at those types of things to make sure, one, we stop losing young people, and that we focus on those who are not actively involved in the labor market, in work, or in school. So we don't think we're, you know, all hope is lost, which is one of the reasons why we've been working with many of our partners in Atlanta, including the Georgia Budget and Policy Institute, United Way of Greater Atlanta, the Community Foundation of Greater Atlanta, and Opportunity Youth United, to really think about what does a good system look like? What does it look like when community stakeholders come together? And how do we elevate those investments, as well as put forth some good programming to make sure young people are served well?
You know, from a business perspective, it's human capital. And you mm-hmm. mentioned that there is not an equitable distribution of the wealth or the resources. So why has this group of human capital kind of been left, you know, to struggle?
Yeah, that's a very good question. And when you talk to business leaders, especially in locally or in regional areas, they understand that they are going to need a current and future workforce. And so this is why you see more and more business stepping up to the plate to support education pathways, to support early work experience and internships and things like that. But globally speaking, in terms of our country and even, you know, even down to the state of Georgia and in Atlanta, we have to shift our mindset that when we're talking about young people who have been left out and are most marginalized, that they deserve opportunities just as much as anyone else, you know. And so it's really a mindset of, these are our children too. And so part of what we're working on with our partners and the work that we do nationally is having young people speak for themselves and to support kind of this narrative change and narrative shift that we think is really important to promote good policy and good practice.
Now, how can the community help to, you know, address these issues? Is it changing educational policy? Is it teaching more civics in our schools? You know, we've heard recently about schools having adulting courses where they talk about finance and, you know, relationships. You know, what can we do to help young people that are struggling in our community, you know, find those pathways and get back on track?
Yeah, that's a really important question. Again, from a class perspective and the perspective we share with our partners, is there's no kind of silver bullet, and so it's like an all hands on deck approach. But we have put together through some work that we've done on a report called Unjustice, and you can find that on our website at www.class.org. And we put together what we call an anti-incarceration and reinvestment strategy. We think there are some key elements to that strategy, and this is how community stakeholders from, you know, all stripes, whether you're faith-based community or your university or a business or a young person themselves or a parent, is really think about these elements. One, how do we build large-scale employment and post-secondary pathways for good jobs and careers that reach all young people? And so how are we, again, thinking about summer youth employment as a pathway for young people? How are we thinking about year-round opportunities, internships for those who are most left out? The second thing we talk about is really in the education system, K-12, that we really need to redesign our education strategies to keep young people engaged and re-engage those who have been pushed out or who have left out. And that really is a lot of things. You know, it could be after school and out of school time, experiential learning, all of that. But one key piece to it as it relates to young people of color is really tackling and reforming school discipline, school climate policies and practices. And that is something that is kind of low-hanging fruit, we believe, that can happen at the school level and the district level, you know, right now with stakeholder engagement. And we know that many of our young people face trauma and mental health challenges by virtue of the exposure to violence and other things. And so really thinking about how do community-based organizations, policymakers, if you're in a city council or county commissioner, think about peer support and trauma-informed strategies in everything we do, and including, you know, our Medicaid funding resources. And making sure that all of this is in a strengths-based point of view and that young people are not seen as deficits. And a lot of times that's how we approach them as community members. Oh, we need to fix them. They have to fix that. But really thinking about they have assets and we have complementary supports that can support them. So those are just some of the key pieces where we feel that community leaders of all stripes, of all backgrounds can really be thinking about.
Now, the conversation is taking place here in Atlanta on April 16th, and it's going to be streamed. So anyone can log on and pull the conversation up and hear the discussion that's taking place. Could you share with us how folks can do that and how folks can get involved with what CLASP is doing?
Absolutely, absolutely. So, yes, you can visit our website at www.clasp.org. slash 50 years, and that's where the live stream will be. We are really, really excited that we will be having conversations in addition with our partners speaking with Congresswoman Lucy McBath of the 6th District and Ian Bridgeforth, who is the founder and executive director of Georgia Shift. And so we're really hoping it's an intergenerational conversation about, one, how do we think about the humanity of young people? Two, why it's important to invest in youth and what are some of those investments that can make a difference, both nationally and in the state and in the greater Atlanta region. And then three, how do we continue the conversation and a conversation with action? I mentioned some of those key pieces that CLASP feel is important for community leaders at the local level to be focused on. So we really, again, want this to be a conversation that continues and leads to action, action around policy, action around investment, and action around partnerships with young people.
Keisha, this sounds wonderful. I'm going to give that website again to hear and listen to the stream on April 16th. Go to www.clasp.org/50 years. I want to wish you all so much success with this, and I'm hoping our listeners are going to tune in for the conversation. So, Keisha Bird, thank you so much for sharing this information with our listeners this morning.
Yes, thank you for having me, and we look forward to engaging with all of you online and beyond.
Take care.
All right, take care.